only for this, to know. I believe that our education here has to develop a curriculum. And curriculum naturally refers to subjects. But our curriculum will also take into account the need to develop faculties and states of consciousness. Our curriculum may not be merely subject-oriented. It has to combine all the three: subjects, faculties, and states of consciousness. Now, there is of course a view, of which I spoke to you earlier, that education should be so free that there should be no curriculum, because it binds. It becomes a rigid framework, and a student is cast into a curriculum and his freedom of to swim freely is lost. And I would like immediately to accept this fact. The truth behind this argument is to be accepted immediately. It is true that a curriculum has this deadening effect. Therefore, a curriculum should be such that it is not a curriculum. That is to say, a curriculum of such a nature is so flexible that it does not prevent a teacher or a pupil to develop a curriculum according to the need of the moment. I give an example. I was teaching history at a given time in the ashram school, and a student came to me and said, I want to learn the history of weapons. It was his great wish to study history of weapons. Now I was absolutely incompetent to deal with this subject, but nobody in the school either knew how to answer this question. So I began to study myself the history of weapons, catapults, up to aeroplanes, and up to atom bomb. I studied the whole subject afterwards, and I prepared a number of worksheets for the children, for one child, which I, at least for me, for my education, were very good. Now, if there was only one curriculum, having no freedom, then this child would have never come to this question, and I would have never answered him, and I would have been a poorer specimen than what I am now, and as a result, I was benefited by this kind of development. Now, I believe that even if you have a curriculum, please do not suppress this possibility of freedom to develop evolutionary syllabi. Syllabi which evolve according to the needs. For example, similarly, one student came and said, I want to learn the story of history of costumes. Now this is another challenge. You know, when you give freedom to the children to study, they come up with questions which are very interesting. One child, for example, came and said, I want to learn what is below the ocean. Not in the ocean. Below the ocean. What is below the ocean? How deep do you go? Now similarly, when you allow children to ask questions, many philosophical questions are raised, and very often these philosophical questions are brushed aside. Or we say your home will teach you, your father will teach you, mother will teach you. It's not in the school, not in the curriculum here. Questions of Dharma Shastra are raised, not in the form of Dharma Shastra. This is right or wrong. Many questions of dilemmas of human life are, even in child's life, they come up very often. This child has beaten me, now what shall I do? Shall I plot to beat him again at a given time? And some children advise that yes, now you should take revenge because this child has beaten you. Now it raises many, even at the childhood this question arises, shall I reply? He has insulted me, then I will also insult him. I will teach a lesson to him. should a child teach a lesson to his friend, even though he has become enemy now? Now these are very important questions which children do have, and we don't normally deal with these questions importantly. Like modern politicians, about whom Sri Aurobindo says, important matters come before him, but great matters come before him, but he does not deal with him greatly. So similarly, many important questions come up before the teachers, but we do not deal with them importantly. We put them aside and say, well, sometimes we give little advice this way, little advice that way, and we say, pell mell, everything is melted away in due course of time. So considering all this, I was thinking that we should have three wings or three aspects of a curriculum as an experimental basis. Now I have derived these three aspects from what Mother and Sri Aurobindo have written, not for a curriculum, but in many other contexts, and I have tried to digest as it were. When you open the book of the Mother called Education, the first chapter is called Science of Living, and the subtitle is To Know Oneself and to Control Oneself. Now I have studied this chapter again and again to understand what is the message contained in this chapter. Why Mother, while starting the whole book on education, focuses upon this very important subject, science of living. I derive three conclusions from it. One is, according to the Mother, all education is to teach human beings as to what is life. Because that is the most important subject, because we are all human beings in process of living. What is life is the most important subject. A subject which is at all at present not recognized at all. And besides Mother's second conclusion is that Mother speaks of the science of living. And that is also very important. That is to say, living has, what is life and how life is to be studied scientifically. At present, even those people who speak of life, they do not have science of living. People speak of art of living. But I have noticed the Mother doesn't speak of the art of life. She speaks of science of life, science of living, not of life but of living oneself and to control oneself. And over certain years in Oroville itself, we have tried to study this problem among so many of us here. And we have made a curriculum, it's a tentative curriculum. I don't know if all the members have got a copy of it or not. I had one copy sent to Mary. You have received a copy, no? We have some copies here, and perhaps at the end, if you want, it has been produced under the title of our own Center of Institution of Educational Research. Now, this is a research work, you might say. I do not say this is what Mother has said or Sri Aurobindo has said. This is a development, an attempt. Therefore, one can criticize it fully and thoroughly, because this is only an attempt to visualize a kind of a curriculum over first 12 years, from class 1 to class 12, how certain aspects or certain subjects, not taught as subjects, but as elements in self-knowledge and in the power to control oneself. I would suggest that this curriculum may be studied by all of us critically, so that it can be enriched, modified, torn away and replaced by something else. But we need to study this subject thoroughly well. You might say that what Mother says, when Mother says, this is a subject which cannot be for examination in a certain way. So if our education is for passing examinations, then this subject will be out. our curriculum will not accept this subject at all. It can't be examined. But this I consider to be the most important subject to be studied. How to study, what methods to be developed is a different question which I'll come to later on, but not now. I am only proposing that in this curriculum, the central part of curriculum should be given to this, to know oneself and to control oneself. Now this curriculum I have so devised that it integrates three important points. It integrates basically the knowledge of psychology as a central piece, because know oneself is psychology basically. So it is psychology is the basic point. It is integrated with philosophy on one hand, science on the other hand, and aesthetics on the third hand. Ethics, aesthetics, philosophy, and science. These are all integrated with the basic fulcrum of psychology. So basically you teach psychology, philosophy, ethics, aesthetics and science in their essentials. So the child who learns this curriculum will have a very good, I don't say mastery, but a very good acquaintance with these subjects. But not merely in the terms of subjects, but in the terms of the faculties which these subjects normally develop. Ethical faculty, aesthetic faculty, scientific faculty, philosophic faculty, and the tapasya that is need to understand oneself, not merely in a theoretical manner, but by practicing. This is a curriculum which emphasizes learning by practicing. This is the one aspect of education that is not sufficiently emphasized in our present syllabi in the world. At the most we do learning by doing, but learning by practicing has a different dimension. As Yudhishthira, for example, was told, it's a story, it's a legend you might say, his teacher told him in the first class, tell the truth. And next day all the children were asked, tell me what I taught you yesterday. And everybody said, you told us, tell the truth. And Yudhishthira was the only one who did not answer the question. So he said, why do you not answer the question? He said, I have not practiced it. Unless I have practiced, how can I say that I know what you taught me yesterday? It's a very small example, but very interesting, very insightful example. You do not learn anything unless you practice it. Now, normally in our school education, practicing is hardly given a place. Excepting when you practice basketball or cricket or football, their practice is allowed. But in the other subjects, practicing hardly plays a role. And yet, practicing is a very important part of learning. So this is the explanation that I gave immediately of this curriculum that I have framed. I shouldn't say that I have framed, but it is a result of a number of people who have joined together, and we have produced this. And then for about 10-12 years I have reflected on it and continuously modified it to some extent. Now, there is another insight that Sri Aurobindo has given in his book on education, National System of Education, where he speaks of the right-hand faculties and left-hand faculties. Now, what are the right-hand faculties and what are the left-hand faculties? The right-hand faculties, Sri Aurobindo says, consist of judgment, understanding, comprehension, and all that becomes creative. This is all right-hand faculties. Left-hand faculties analyze, and they allow specialization. They go into details. Left-hand faculties concentrate upon the processes. Right-hand faculties emphasize essence, not the process but the essence.